Thank you for joining us for our series through the book of Romans. This book is full of rich truths about the Christian life, and we hope that throughout our study, your identity in Christ and our call to communitas are affirmed in you each week. Let's dive into the text.
Amen. What's up, VG? How you doing? I guess you guys don't say that, but that's all good. I said that last service. Everyone was like, all right, cool. I guess we say that now. But yeah, it's great. It's so great to see you. It's great to see truly faces that I've prayed for all week. It's beautiful. Just faces that I've been praying for that this message would land right into your heart. A couple of housekeeping things. I love Drew. He doesn't pay me to say that. He's awesome. I just don't just love Drew. I love all of the leaders here. Zach in the back. These guys have been incredibly patient and gracious with me. But also what I love is a lot of the leaders here just really seem to love Jesus, which is like incredible. You know, that is not always a given in church work. These guys really, all of the leaders I've met really, really love Jesus. So I hope to meet you after the message. But if you have your Bibles with you or your device with you, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8, starting at verses 18. And I'm so excited that you all are in the book of Romans, specifically chapter 8. I've been praying all week specifically that you hear from a great preacher today. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He's the greatest preacher I know. He pleads and bears witness with our spirit and reminds us and reassures us that we are children of God, does he not? And so that's really who I've been praying that you hear from today. And so with that, I just want to share a brief prayer and then we'll jump into God's word today. Father, would we hear from your Holy Spirit through your word? God, we thank you for this time. God, we live in the gap between our present and our desired state, and we groan in that gap. But God, I get the privilege today to be the vessel that you speak through to look towards the glory that you have for us as your children. So God, I just pray that hearts would be stirred this morning. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You know, I was thinking this week that comparison in the Christian life is not always a bad thing. Like comparing something to something else is not always a bad thing. I mean, it absolutely can be a bad thing. Like, I am a really bad comparison person. Like, comparison in a negative sense is like when we compare what we have and who we are to someone else, right? Like, just some random arbitrary general examples. Like when you compare your Nissan Sentra to your neighbor's Tesla, or when you compare, your browning grass to Steve, your neighbor's perfect green and lush lawn that you barely see him work on, but yours will not turn green no matter how much you work at it. Or when you compare your preaching style to another preacher's style, that does happen. These are just random examples for the sake of the illustration. But that's a surefire way to be miserable. Like the old phrase that we've heard, right? Comparison is the thief of joy is absolutely good and true and wise. But friends, today I want to tell you, comparison can also be a bringer of joy. Comparison, when rooted in the right things, can actually be a great thing because it can give us a powerful perspective. What do I mean? If you're having a bad day, but you compare the terribleness of that day to a better day in the future, it'll give you hope for the moment, and it'll give you a powerful perspective to endure. Like, we've been really busy. My wife and I and our family have been in a really hard season, and we're going on vacation next week. Come on, somebody. And when that Airbnb confirmation dropped in my email inbox, I could have cried. It was amazing. I was like, it'll be worth it. You know, I'll be at Clear Lake. It'll be awesome. But we're going to see Paul do that today. But Paul ups the ante. Paul says, I'm telling you, when it comes to comparing your present suffering, it will not compare to your perfect future. Paul is speaking as a man who is suffering, writing to believers that are suffering. He's saying, I know you're doing a lot of groaning, as we all do in a broken world, but Paul's like, I'm telling you, your perfect future, the glory that will be revealed through you and to you, it's going to be incredible. In fact, we see that in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." You are not going to see false passions today. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, and I get to tell you, believer in Jesus, about your perfect and glorious future. Are you ready to hear it? You want to hear what your future is if you're a believer in Jesus? Let me tell you. This is your future. You will, for the rest of eternity, be worshiping Jesus, your Redeemer, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Hear this. In a new world free of corruption, as a new you free of sin, in a new body free of disease, surrounded by old friends. That's your future. Okay, don't love that reaction, but you'll get another chance in a little bit. You'll get a chance a little later. It's all right. I said the same thing to the last service. That's your future. That compared to an Airbnb confirmation, I mean, come on. A new world, friends, a new body surrounded by old friends worshiping the God that has never changed. That's your future. And so that's what we're going to see today. But we also recognize that that's not our current reality, right? We live in what you all call here the gap between our present state and our desired state. I stole that right from the Drew playbook, right? We live in the gap. And what I like to say to my church is we live in the gap between gardens, the gap between the garden of Genesis 2 and the garden city of Revelation 22. We live in the gap between what was perfect and good and what will be. And because we live in that gap, because we live in a world that is not as it should be, as people not as we should be, we groan, do we not? There are not just bad days, there are terrible days. There are not just poor or bad things that we see on the news. We see terrible things on the news. But what Paul is going to do to encourage the believers and us today is he's saying those things compared to a perfect future will get you excited. So I want to look at today's text from three angles. I want us to see that we do not groan alone in the gap. I want us to see our hope in the gap, and I want us to see our help in the gap. Are you with me today? All right, let's party. Let's do it. Starting at the fact that we do not groan alone in the gap, creation groans comparing its current curse to the glory of its future freedom. Look at verse 19 with me. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Paul says, you know how tremendous that future is going to be? Even creation, even the world, the animal, the creation, the world as we know it, groans to see a better world, groans to see the revealed children of God redeemed with new bodies and new hearts. Creation groans and is eager for that. In fact, Paul gives a metaphor here. He says, creation is groaning so much for this. It's like a woman in labor giving birth, groaning in painful agony hour after hour after hour. But eventually what? She will breathe a sigh of relief when she sees the child that belongs to her. And in the same way, friends, creation will breathe a sigh of relief when they see the children that belong to God. Think about that for a second. We long to see a better world, but a world longs to see a better us. Why? It's because if creation sees the glory of the revealed, redeemed children, it means that creation will be restored because the curse has been removed. That's what's going to happen. Like creation is taking their cue off of, if we see the children of God, we can cue up that Bob Dylan record and begin to praise the fact that times really are a-changing. Amen? You can speak back. It's cool. It's totally fine. No, I love it. I love it. That times are a-changing. You see, friends, what curse has occurred to all of creation? Well, we can go back to Genesis 3, or we can really just look around to see that curse. I don't think I have to spend a bunch of time explaining to you that the world is not as it should be. But, friends, humanity's rebellion against God is what ruined the world. We thought we could do things our own way and be our own authority and detach ourselves from the source and creator of all life. And we what? Invited death and decay. Creation is suffering consequences of our decision to be apart from our creator. The last few weeks, this is a depressing example and illustration, but I cannot make this up. The last few weeks in our backyard, we have found 8 dead baby birds. No, seriously, we have found 8 dead baby birds. There's a big tree in our backyard, and we assumed that there was a nest there, but we didn't understand why these non-eaten dead baby birds were all around our yard. And so I began looking it up, because I'd find one day, think it was over, find 2 the next day, think it was over, find 3 the next day. And I'm thinking, is there an environmental problem in our backyard? It wasn't that. Is our dog doing it? No, she didn't do it. Is there like a squirrel predator just going after all of these baby birds? No. Here's what happens. I looked it up, and another neighbor confirmed this. What happens is baby birds' brains will not develop the right way sometimes, and they will believe that they are ready to fly before they are. And they usually will try to fly when mama leaves the nest. So you have babies believing that they can fly the nest, that they are capable with their wings, but they're not. And what happens? They're deaf. Now, friends, I can't help but see that that illustrates the curse. We see creation not as it should be, not just because baby birds die, but also, if you think about it, that's an image of what we did. We believed that we were ready to fly without the authority of our Creator. We believed that we were ready to call the shots of this world, but without depending upon God. But here's the hope. Here's the hope. Our perfect intimacy with the Father, when creation takes that front row seat and sees us in our glory as the revealed children of God, our perfect intimacy will indicate something to them. That things are going to be all right. No, not just that, that things are going to be perfect. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 with me. This is what creation is longing for. Hear these words. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. I have a 3-year-old. You'll meet him. He's really cute. It's this image of Joshua will be able to lead ferocious animals in the new heaven and the new earth. Look at this. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Do you see now why they cannot wait to see the glory of God's children? because they will experience the world completely renewed and completely restored. Friends, we do not groan alone in the gap, but also we have a hope in the gap. We groan comparing our present selves as we are to the future of the glory of our adoption as sons and daughters. Look at verse 23 with me. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, believers in Jesus, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And in the same way that our stomachs growl when we taste and can smell delicious, amazing food, guess what? Our hearts are growling for this new heaven and new earth. Are they not? Aren't you excited, friend? Our hearts are growling. Why? Because we've tasted the beauty of the Holy Spirit. We've experienced the joy and the patience and the kindness and the self-control and the love and the goodness and all that he has brought into our life. But we also want to see all of that in us on every single crevice of the earth. That's why we groan. And that's why we're eager. We're eager to be adopted as sons and daughters. Now, as believers in Jesus, you have already been adopted. You are no longer an object of wrath. You are an adopted child of God. Amen? Amen. But on that day, you will enjoy the fuller experience of that adoption. You will be like a child who knows that they've been adopted by a parent. So they are adopted, but they've only seen a photo of them. But then they'll hear that knock on the door and those footsteps, and they'll see the parents that they belong to face. He'll embrace his parents, and he'll see the full experience of who adopted him and who he belongs to. That is our future. That is to say, the gap of 18 inches between our head and our heart will be closed. All of the things we know about God and who he is, his glory, his goodness, his love for us, the fact that not only does he love us, but check this out, he likes you. Have you ever thought about that? God loves me. Yeah. No. God likes you too. I think we think of God like I thought of my sister growing up, you know, like Sheree loved me, but she didn't like me. You know what I mean? Like, she kind of had to love me. She was my sister. No, God actually is for you. He likes you. And that gap of the things that you've thought and the things that have stayed in theory and the things that have stayed conceptual, you'll know those things and be fully assured of those things perfectly. God is for me. And you'll experience the fullness of that. That's your future. That means on that day, beholding the beauty of the glory of God, your insecurity will be dead. You'll know exactly who and whose you are perfectly, friend. But not only that, we get new bodies, y'all. I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, we get new bodies. I think about this all the time. I'm 29. Don't tell me if I look younger or older, you know, but I'm 29 years old. And there's times where I now hop out of my bed and my knees hurt. And that never used to happen before. It's not like I played basketball the day before. It's just like my knees hurt. And I was asking my wife, who's a few years older than me, like, hey, what's going down? She's like, it means you're getting older. Welcome to my reality, right? But look at this. We will receive, friends, new bodies, resurrected bodies, redeemed bodies, bodies free of pain and disease. Which means our pain that we're experiencing right now, I don't know if you're in physical pain, But the pain that you're experiencing right now should point you to a future where that pain will be gone, and all of the tears that you've shed because of that pain will be wiped away by the very hand of God. That's Revelation 21. That's what's coming. Look at this with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. I'm going to read all of it. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all what? Comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The hard days and the hard pain and the hard things, those will not last. But the beautiful, good, glorious things that God has for you in your future, those things are going to last forever. Don't worry. Those things never wear out. I want to give you an image of this. A Christian paraplegic, in their new body, will run and walk and dance for longer, for the rest of eternity, compared to the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years that they couldn't. That's what that means. How about this one? The young lady here who just believes that she's ugly and her life is bound by insecurity and what people think of her, and she looks in the mirror and she sees nothing but imperfection. When she, on that day, beholds the beauty of a glorious God, not only will she know that she's beautiful, but she'll be so awestruck by God's beauty, but she will have confidence for the rest of eternity and for longer than the 20, 30, 40 years that she didn't while on earth. That's your future, friends. That's pretty cool to me. That is what we have to look forward to. And I know you might be thinking, it's like, all right, like, I hear this, but Sheridan, like, that's not my current reality. And honestly, like, I know these things are in the Bible, but they sound too good to be true. But friends, that's the point. That's what the Word of God is like. These things are not too good to be true. They're just that good, and they're just that true. And they're your future, my friend. They're what you get to look forward to. But not only that, we have a hope in the gap, a fuller experience of our adoption, and we have to look forward to new bodies, but we also have our help in the gap, the Holy Spirit's compassion for us has no comparison. Look at verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is the perfect prayer warrior. Is the perfect counselor. Not only do we groan, and not only does creation groan, but the Holy Spirit groans for you. And there will come a day where the season is just that hard and just that bad, and there are no words. There are no words to be spoken. You can't get even a thought or words out to anyone else or the Father because you're weeping and groaning that much because of that situation. But you can know and be encouraged and be assured that even though you cannot speak on your own behalf, don't worry, there is a helper that speaks on your behalf for you. And in fact, he doesn't just speak, he groans. And those groans are too deep to be even understood in human language. The depths of his groans are meant to show the depth of his compassion for you. And then your Father interprets those groans from the Holy Spirit perfectly to hear exactly what's going on with his child. You have the perfect, gracious, compassionate prayer warrior for you when life is too hard to even utter a prayer. But not only that, he comforts you, but he's committed to God's best for you. Look, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit advocates and intercedes for the saints, look, according to the will of God. So hear me, friends. Not only does the Holy Spirit intercede and advocate for you, but he's committed to God's best for you. Whatever growth is meant to happen in that hard season, that's what he's going to pray for you. I wouldn't want someone praying that for me. Like, I know this is hard, but God, if you want this to continue to occur in Sheridan's life, so be it. Because it's going to bring about growth and greater dependence and greater trust and greater assurance in him. I don't want someone praying that for me, but the Holy Spirit will pray that for us. Because he is more committed to God's best and our deeper understanding of who God is and his love for us and his like for us and his compassion towards us. He will not let us stay as we are. He'll comfort us. He'll help us in the weakness, but he also knows there's growth that will occur in the gap. Do you hear this today? Let me tell you a quick story. And I'll invite the worship team to come up soon. One time I was in a really tough season, and I don't know about you, but I throw a good pity party with the best of them. You know what I mean? There's balloons at mine. There's party hats. It's a whole thing. My wife has never showed up for one, though. It's crazy. So I throw a really good pity party. And in all seriousness, I was in a really tough season. I remembered my little preaching rag here. I was in a really tough season, okay? And I've struggled with depression my whole life. I have. And it was the lowest of that depression, okay? I was thinking things that I had no business thinking, but that's just where I was at. And you guys are family, so I don't mind sharing that with you. And I was at Chipotle with one of my brothers who's a believer in Jesus, and I'm saying, dude, I want to do things. I want to say things, and I feel things that I've never felt. I'm mad at God, and he feels far, and he feels distant, and I'm suffering, and I'm in pain, and I feel crazy, and all of these things. And I'm talking for 15, 20 minutes, and he's just being a great friend and listener to me. And then after all I said was done, I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. He looks at me. He cocks his head like this. He smiles, one of the most beautiful smiles I've ever seen. He says, you know, man, I think you're in a really good place. Y'all, the carne asada burrito almost flew out of my mouth. He goes, dude, I think you're in a really good place. Did you not just hear everything I just said? He goes, no, listen, man, I hear you and you're suffering and I'm compassionate in that. I don't want you feeling the way you're feeling. And yet I know you grew up in a ministry family, Sheridan. I know your parents are pastors. I know you can sing about Jesus and talk about Jesus with the best of them. And you know all of these scriptures. But if I'm honest, friend, you don't really know him like I know him. And I believe this gap, this season, what you're going through, the gift of the Holy Spirit is going to help you to really see the beauty of who Jesus is. So yes, I think even in the midst of the gap, our helper will help you see him. for how beautiful he is. You won't just know how to talk about him, you'll talk to him. And your faith won't be Sydney and Deborah Smith's faith, it will be Sheridan's dependence upon Jesus. So I think you're in a good place. You get to unwrap the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the perfect prayer warrior, who helps you when you have no words. And friends, I know that's many of you today. You're me at Chipotle. And I hope you're talking to someone, but I want you to know you have a helper. Even when you don't know what to pray or how to pray or what you should pray, he prays on your behalf. And I, friends, if I'm honest with you, Marissa and I, my family, we've had a really tough year, a really tough year. So many things have happened where I have come to God and said, why? Why? Why did this happen? And if I'm honest, what I'm learning is this. God does not always give us a specific answer to our whys. We know that a lot of the hard things we go through, he can redeem it and use it for our good and his glory, but he doesn't always give us a specific answer to why this had to happen. And even less so, he doesn't give us an answer to all of our whens. When will Jesus return? When will this world be made right? When will creation be restored? He doesn't give us an answer to all of our whys. He doesn't give us an answer to all of our whens. But hear me, look at me today. He gives us a lot of wills. And friend, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the one who groaned on the cross of Calvary for you so that you could experience glory, the one who groaned as his body was beaten and broken for you so that you could experience the glory of a new body. The one who groaned in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane so that you could celebrate and experience the glory of being in God's presence, home where you were always meant to be. Because he did those things, you will, with me, us together, be worshiping Jesus forever. In a new world, free of corruption, free of racism, free of insecurity, as a new you, free of sin, free of low self-esteem, in new bodies, free of disease, free of cancer, free of backache, surrounded by old friends, worshiping a God that has never changed. That's your future. Because of what Christ has done, you have something so beautiful to look forward to. It is better than that Airbnb confirmation, I promise you. And I hope I've proved that today. Can I pray for you? Father, make that glorious future, make these hopes real to us. We groan, life is not as it should be, this world is not as it should be, but we have the Holy Spirit and we've tasted the joy and the goodness and the kindness and the love from him, and we just want to see it everywhere. We groan in the gap, but we don't groan without hope. I pray that people would walk away who came in today discouraged with hope. I pray that people who came in today, that the joy in Jesus that Drew always talked about, that they would taste it and experience it and see it and savor it today. And I ask these things upon these faces that I prayed for that you knew would be here today, that it would be true for them today. And we ask all of these things in the name of the most precious Lord and King Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.
We live in a divided world, but just like the Romans, we are called to unity in Christ as we live on mission in our daily lives. Let this message be an encouragement to you as you go into the spaces and places that God takes you this week. Until next time.